This is Day to Day. I'm Noah Adams.
It's 6 o'clock on Tuesday, the 28th of September. Good morning. This is Today with James Naughtie in London and John Humphreys here in Brighton at the Labour Party conference.
That tape, of course, is from Britain, and it's the voice of the man some call the Rottweiler of the BBC. John Humphreys hosts BBC Radio's flagship morning news show, The Today Programme, with a style of interviewing that fans label aggressive and critics belligerent. In September, the BBC censured Humphreys following an interview in which he took to task a government minister, but Humphreys has threatened to quit if he is made to soften his method of interviewing. Here to tell us more about John Humphreys and how his style compares with what you hear in the U.S. is Jonathan Friedland. Friedland was once a foreign correspondent in Washington, D.C. He writes for the Guardian newspaper in London. Welcome, sir.
Hello, Noah.
How big a figure is Humphreys in Britain, and how did the people there view him?
He's a very, very large figure. Not only do the elite, the movers and shakers, wake up to his voice on the radio every morning, that show is listened to by really everybody, but also he has a position which is almost in the constitution. As you know, Britain has an unwritten constitution, but if we did ever write it down, part of the role of being a check and balance on our politicians would go to the grand inquisitor that is John Humphreys.
Any equivalent? You've seen a lot of American media, heard a lot of radio, television. Any equivalent here?
The very closest equivalent I think you could probably get would be somebody like Tim Russert on the Meet the Press show. If you imagine Tim Russert to the power of 100 with, six mega gulp cups of coffee down him, add in some of Humphrey's own rudeness, and then you might get an idea.
Well, now people listening are going to want to hear it. Here it comes. Here's part of Humphrey's interview, which led to his censure, by the way, by the BBC. He's interviewing Government Minister Hazel Blears. Blears defends her department from allegations that they could have prevented two schoolgirls from being murdered by spending more on police intelligence sharing.
Straight away, we'll be moving on with the police local exchange system, which will enable us to share the intelligence across the system. We've got Project
Moving
Impact
on
coming.
Means what?
Which means getting that system in place within
when?
The next few months. We've said later this year we're going to have an action plan. We take this matter really seriously. So we're going to have an
but
action plan
before
the summer
recess. But you didn't take it really seriously at the time, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Now, Jonathan Friedland, during that interview, it lasted 11 minutes. Humphrey interrupts Ms. Blears 30 times. Is that typical?
Absolutely typical. There are people who cannot complete a sentence when being interviewed by John Humphreys. He just will not let you wander, even in a subclause, off the point. There are some listeners who absolutely love it and think it's a sport, a kind of blood sport on the radio, but there are others who do complain and feel it is so discourteous that it has even degraded the standard of public life in this country, that an incivility has come into our political life. And there are people who quite seriously say that Humphreys and one or two of his colleagues on television have introduced this incivility by this discourteous style. So he's a lightning rod for a very live debate, really, about how politics is conducted in Britain.
Now, since this interview with Ms. Blears, Humphreys has interviewed many other politicians. Tony Blair, the Prime Minister, granted Humphreys a rare interview, I understand, quite rare, and here is Tony Blair defending the action to support the war in Iraq.
In the end with this thing, I totally understand why people have a very strong view on it, and you know, you're entitled to have a view, everyone's entitled to have a view. Just understand why I took this decision. I took the decision, as I said yesterday, I'm as fallible as anybody else. I may be wrong in it, but I don't believe I'm wrong.
But if your judgment is wrong on this, if it really is wrong on this, let me put this very bluntly, you wouldn't be fit to be Prime Minister, would you?
And Tony Blair is not a fan of John Humphreys. Has he stayed away from that show?
Tony Blair has entirely stayed away from that show, has more or less refused to be interviewed on it. In this particular case, the BBC almost trapped Tony Blair into doing an interview with John Humphreys. They did it this way. Normally, the interviewer has been somebody down at Labour conference who Tony Blair historically gets on with quite well. This year, the BBC decided to change the pattern and send Humphreys down to this party convention, thereby more or less forcing Tony Blair into a position where he had to face Humphreys across the broadcasting table, or else people would cry chicken. And I think you heard there the usually fluent and confident Tony Blair hesitating, umming and erring. He was nervous, I think, and people are intimidated by Humphreys. It doesn't matter that Blair is the Prime Minister and Humphreys is just a mere journalist. There is something about his Rottweiler style that does intimidate. One criticism I have to say is about Humphreys is that he does this style, yes, with big politicians who maybe deserve it. His problem is that he really does have just one style, and he will be interviewing, you know, a woman who's won a first prize in a flower show, and he'll interview her the same way. He'll interrupt her every 2 minutes as well.
Wow.
Occasionally he's interviewed children. It's a terrible thing to listen to because he just can't really do anything else. That's why I say about it. He sounds like he's down to 10 cups of coffee before he starts. But when he's got a politician in his sights, there's really no one better at getting to the bottom of or the truth of a particular question.
What about his censure, though? The BBC censures him. I gather that's not a big deal, but has he brought it down since then?
He hasn't, and he gave a very prestigious lecture earlier on in the late summer where he said that if the BBC did try and rein him in, he would quit, and he's a big enough figure that he can do that.
Would you think from your time in the US that this style is deficient here, that there needs to be a more aggressive across-the-board broadcast confrontation with especially government officials?
I really would say that, yes. I'm a huge admirer of American life and American media, but I very often would hear politicians being on radio shows or on the television and allowed to say things which you just, the listener or viewer, was thinking, hang on a minute, that's a direct contradiction with what you said 3 minutes earlier. And the anchor would not pick them up on it, would not call them on it. You've seen some of that in investigation that's happened about the American press and how it didn't really pick up on the contradictions in, for example, the case that the administration made over the war in Iraq. Whereas here, even before the war, here in Britain, the gaps in the British case about weapons of mass destruction, for example, were a huge story where, you know, the dossier of evidence that was being dismissed as a dodgy dossier, that was because media interrogation here was saying in advance there are big gaps in this case, to the point where the British public didn't find it that surprising that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And my guess would be American voters, listeners, viewers, are much more surprised by the fact that there are no WMD in Iraq, because the media didn't question the evidence in the first place.
Jonathan Friedland of the Guardian newspaper in London, thank you for joining us. Sorry I couldn't trip you up and interrupt you a bit more with this.
that would have been good.
And a quick news update now from Britain. Prime Minister Tony Blair has left the hospital after a successful procedure to correct an intermittent heart flutter.